Hebrews chapter number 24, verse number 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. A number of things I want you to notice from that verse. Every week I do my best, as my custom is, habit. I try to read sermons, and I just feel that I need sermons too. I don't listen to myself. Brother Joe's put them on, the messages on the internet now, but I don't listen to them. If I did, I'd probably quit. So I don't listen to myself, but I do listen to other preachers. I do re-preaching every week. I was reading a certain message about a preacher. Actually, it was a testimony. And this preacher was going through some difficult times in his life. And he was corresponding. I'm not naming the preacher. Many of you would know this preacher's name. And he was writing and trying to defend himself. And here's what he said. He said, I'm wounded, I'm hurt, but I'm not going to quit. And I like that. You know, it's very easy to quit. And listen to this. What you are when adversity comes will determine whether you quit or you stay. What you are. That means you better be topside all the time. That means you better be strong all the time. I saw a picture of Jack LaLanne. How many know Jack? You heard the name Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne, God bless his heart. I believe I saw 93 years old. I mean, he almost looks as good as I do right now. And don't laugh, man. You really hurt my feelings. I mean, he's in top tip-top shape. I mean, the guy probably does 1,000 push-ups a day. He's got muscle. I mean, it would compare with his muscle. I mean, he is just in shape. And that guy is always getting doing push-ups, doing sit-ups, and the things he does at night, my body just won't contort that way, so I can't do it. But his does, and he's on tip-top shape. So when something happens, I mean, a cockroach starts crawling on his back, he's ready to just get rid of it. I mean, he's in that good of a shape. And I think you and I, spiritually, we better be spiritually fit, because adversity will come. Adversity will come. You don't know when it's going to come, but it will come. You look back at your life, and you can just certainly, almost certainly, see adversity. Times in your life where you just thought, can it get any worse? I mean, and it's going to come again. If thou faint, what does the word faint mean? The word faint means relax, or sink down, or become disheartened. If thou faint in the day of adversity. But I've got good news. Notice it doesn't say year of adversity. It says day of adversity. In the scheme of things, most trouble comes and it's short-lived. We have to realize that as much as we hate adversity, when it does come, we're not to faint. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Notice, if you quit, if you throw in the towel, if you get out of the work, if you get put on the sidelines, you just say, that's it, I'm done. The reason that happens is because at the time that adversity comes, your strength was small. So what do we have to do? We have to stay spiritually fit. That's why I'm a proponent of being in this Bible every day. That's why I'm a proponent of being on your knees every day. That's why I'm a proponent of being in church as much as the doors are open, being in church. All the time, anytime the preacher's up, be in church. Amen. Why? Because adversity is going to come. What is adversity? Adversity is trouble or distress. I think of nobody that endured distress or trouble or adversity more in one day than Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some things, but I want to just talk to you about, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I like boxers. Any boxer that gets in the ring knows that when he gets in the ring, there could be trouble. I mean, when you put on those punching gloves and you go to war against some other boxer, the reason you have those gloves to attack, and you also have those gloves to defend. And there may very well be a punch thrown by the opposition that would cause someone to fall, to get down. Now, I like the guy that just gets in there and he knows that when he gets hit, he's gonna get up. Gonna get up. Gonna get up. I like that kind of guy. I like the kind of guy, the spiritual giant, when something comes in his life and he gets hit, the devil throws his punch and he goes down and just gets up.
a dustman falls down seven times and yet rises again. I mean, just get up!
I think seven times, that's one for each day, amen? One for each day of the week.
I mean, it may happen each and every day, but just get up! Get up! Get up! You may be bruised, you may be battered, you may be blood flowing down your face, but get up and get up and get up!
You never know when you just might throw that punch would fell that guy that you're fighting. One who is strong will get up, one who isn't strong won't. If you are small, if you are weak in strength, when adversity comes, you'll faint, you'll quit, you'll throw in the towel. I just want to keep going. Talk to my Sunday school class this morning. I just want to keep going until God calls me home or until he comes. By the way, I'm looking for the latter. I'm looking for Jesus to come first. And I believe we all are. But if the Lord tarries his coming, I just want to keep going. If God gives me 70 years, 70 and 10, I want to keep going for 70 and 10. I don't want to throw in the towel. I don't want to be a casualty in this war. Paul said, we're in a fight. This is a battle that's going on. And we've got too many Christians that are falling by the wayside because their strength is small when adversity comes. I like the Christian that, boy, the devil just said he backslid. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. But he says, I'm not gonna complain about that. The old devil's not going to get me down. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to keep serving God. Well, I like that guy. Is that you? Have you determined in your soul, in your heart tonight, that no matter what happens in your life, that you are not going to quit serving God? You're going to keep going. You're going to keep going. You're going to keep going. Got to keep going. Now look, you don't know what's ahead. There's no way any of us know what's ahead. When I became pastor, I was not prepared for what would be entailed in the pastor. I'm not going to go into details tonight, but I just was not ready. I thought a pastor that gets up and in front of his people and preaches the word of God, tries to help them, tries to encourage them, tries to motivate them, tries to be an example, tries to win souls, tries to love them. I thought that kind of preacher would have no trouble clear sailing all the way through. I found out that there's a devil. And that devil was willing to fight, and he is fighting. And the things that you think could just go smooth all the way through, in a moment's notice, something can happen. And boy, the pastor can get awful lonely. You don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know if there's anybody here that's ever pastored. But I'm telling you tonight, the pastor, my preacher told me one time, he said, if you make it look easy, you're doing a good job. And if you're looking up here tonight and saying, boy, that job at that Keith Feenister, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, boy, that must be the easiest job in the world. I sure would like to be in his shoes, man. He has a so easy good night, man. That's an old hour, many hours you want. Yeah, well, 6:30 this morning, I was up in my office praying, reading my Bible, getting ready for the message. Tomorrow will be a full day. Even on my off days, I'm doing something for the Lord. I'm doing something. I'm working. I can't remember the last day I had a full day off. It's not easy, but good night. I'm telling you what, I'm here to say I'm in the battle to the end. I'm just not going to quit. It's too easy to quit. My Lord didn't quit on me. Imagine for a minute. Imagine the Lord going down that Via Dolorosa, and he knows what's ahead of him. He knows that as he travels down that road to that place, Golgotha, he knows he's going to be crucified between two thieves. He knows that if he doesn't get to that point and is not crucified and dies, he knows that the devil wins. Could you imagine him going down that road? He's carrying that beam, like I said this morning, weighing 110 pounds. He's been scourged. He's bleeding profusely. His legs are weak. His muscles aren't functioning like they should. And can you imagine our Lord saying, that's it. That's it. I quit. I have enough. I've done enough. I can't take it anymore. And I imagine angels would be there in a minute. Jesus, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get quit down. Get up. Boy, I'm so glad that the Lord quit. Amen. Good. good night, I know he's God, I know that. But could you imagine him doing such a thing? I like what Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. You just write it down, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. There's going to be better days than good days, but you just mark it down, heaven's coming. And boy, when heaven comes, it don't get any better than that. It's coming, it's coming. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, have that not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Tell him, Joshua, to be strong. Joshua, there's going to be days. You're going to go into Jericho, and you're going to march around that city. There may be some days, some trouble. You're going to go over to Ai, and Achan is going to take a near person and say, there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some trials in your life. Be strong, Joshua, be strong. And he's saying to you and I today, he's saying to each of us, be strong. And the only way you're going to be strong, not by eating your Wheaties. No, no, no. By the way, I had some last night, and they were good. And Wheaties are wonderful, but you're not going to get strong spiritually by eating Wheaties. You've got to get in the Word. Get in the Word. Stay close to the Lord. Commune with him. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. Be around the right kind of people. Be around Christians. Witness for him. Serve your Lord with all your heart. I think of people in the Bible that had adversity. I think of Noah. Could you imagine a preacher of righteousness building that ark, people mocking him, and not one convert outside his own family. Telling the people, it's coming. What are you building that ark for, Noah? Because it's coming. Rain's coming. You better come with me. They laugh at him and look at him and say, we haven't seen any rain, Noah. What are you talking about? You're crazy. Crazy old man, Noah. But he just kept on going. He didn't quit. Just kept on going. Aren't you glad that Noah did keep on going? Amen. And we have that cat over there today as a testimony in my house. That cat is a testimony to Noah being faithful and keep on going. And that dog you have, by the way, I saw the most beautiful dog the other day. Oh, my goodness. And I came home and I told my wife, I said, honey, I think we're going to have a divorce over this thing. I need a dog. And you don't take that literally. And I talked about it, and I almost got her. She's probably down there listening. Did you fix that thing? And she hears that, and she's probably laughing right now. But I said, hey, I got some. And I found the most beautiful golden retriever in all the world. Just swallow up that cat. One gulp, just take care of that cat. And I said, man, isn't God good? I found the most beautiful one in all the world. I got excited. I said, man, I want that dog. She said, over my dead body, basically, is what she said. And so you pray for us tonight. We're having trouble in our marriage right now because of a cat and a dog. And no one's responsible because he kept on going. And got those dogs and then cat into the ark. Think of Daniel tonight. Told Daniel, don't you petition any God. Don't you do it. Daniel goes back and opens up the window and faces towards Jerusalem, and he prays at the evening, and he prays at the morning, and he prays at the noon hour, and he just keeps on praying, just not going to quit, he's just going to keep on serving God, doing right. And you know the story, gets thrown in the lion's den. Praise God for a man that just won't quit. I mean, there's going to be days like that. I think of Job. Boy, I admire. One of the first persons I want to meet when I get to heaven is Job. Can you imagine, folks? Sometimes we think we have it tough. Imagine. You have 10 children. Gone. All your possessions. Gone. All your camel. All your sheep. Gone. Everything you own. Your cars. Your clothing in the house. Gone. Tornado comes, boom, it's gone. Your wife says, come on, you curse God and die. I mean, the wife basically says, I want out of this thing. Your body, you start getting boils all over your body, and you take the potsherds and you start scraping your body, you're such pain and torment, and you just want to give in. But what? Job, he makes an ark and just keeps on going. Nothing's going to get him down. I mean, the Lord opened the door, took the hedge away from him. The devil stepped in, gave him what he could give him, took him down to the boy, got down, but he got back up. That's what I like about good old Job. And you and I, if Job can do it, we can do it. You say, why? You know why Job did it? Strong. Strong. I'm not talking about strong like this. I'm talking about strong like this. Job was strong spiritually, and he was ready for that day. And boy, he could have thrown in the towel. I'm sure he thought, man, I just want to give it up. But he did it. He kept on going. And then there's Jesus. Did you know Jesus made 7 statements on the cross? 7. They weren't long, but he made 7 statements. I think of our Lord on the cross and saying those 7 statements. And I think in his day of adversity, he could teach us something. So I want to give you some, just 7 things very quickly with our time about those statements. I'm going to take each one, and let's just examine what we can learn from those 7 statements. Number 1, Jesus said in Luke 23:24, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. First thing we can know about adversity is forgive those who want to ruin your life. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to forgive somebody, you are going to have to be strong spiritually. It's not something that this flesh wants to do. When somebody attacks, our nature is to attack back. I mean, that's our nature. But God says we ought to forgive. Forgive those who want to ruin your life. Somebody said this, bad days are the result of things that happen, and things that happen are the result of what people do. I mean, persecution's going to come. You know where persecution's going to come? From, it's not going to come from a dog. Although I've been out soul winning before, I've only been bit one time. One time I've been out soul winning, not before. And I haven't even been stung by a bee. Brother Joe's been stung by a bee. And probably the first time he went out, I think. And I've been out soul winning, been bitten one time. And that little rascal got me when I wasn't even looking. You know what dog got me? Back to the dogs. You know what dog got me? It wasn't the big Doberman Pinscher. Is that a big dog? Something like that. It wasn't the what's that, pit bull? Is that the dog? It wasn't the pit bull. It was a little, scrawny little Taco Bell dog. What's those bells called? What is it? Tomorrow, that's it. And straight from Mexico. And boy, he must have been on something. He just circled around me. Man, this guy did right. Get away from me. He just circled around me, and when I started giving that lady a track, it was like the devil possessed that guy. He went up and just tore at my ankle and dipped me right there. And I said, get away from me. I said, boy, that soul winning effort didn't go too well. I kicked her dog. And the only time I've ever kicked a dog in my life. But I just say bad things will come, and usually it comes from people, not dogs. That's where persecution's involved from. Persecution. Persecution's going to come. It's going to come. I pray for preachers. You know why I pray for preachers? I don't know if you understand it, but preachers need prayer. Because persecution comes. Let me give you a hint of where it comes from. It doesn't come from the people outside the walls of the church. Many times it comes from people inside the walls of the church. You say, preacher, I don't believe it. I know God's been good to me here. God's been awful good. I mean, on Easter, I got cards from people sending me Easter cards. And I thought, good night, I've never had Easter cards. Down in the South, I don't get Easter cards. I get birthday cards, but I don't get Easter cards. It's something new to me. I mean, you folks have been good to me. You've expressed your love. And I pray that it would continue that way. But most preachers who battle persecution, it comes from people inside the church. You don't believe it, but it's true. Pray for preachers. Pray for your preacher. Folks here tonight, go to other churches. Brother Michael's on my list. I pray for him regularly. Pray for preachers. Number 2, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What's the lesson to learn? Help others who experience what you experience. Here's a thief. He's dying on the cross. And yet he's able to help that thief in his time of adversity. Did you know this? Many times adversity will come, and when adversity comes your way, God is preparing you for later on to help people. You just got to stick it. You know what? People want to see people that go through adversity, and boy, they know that somebody's been through it, they've stuck through it, and they are just like a magnet. They just attract that kind of person. I'll never forget, I was talking about the day God healed me. I had a split disc, a herniated disc in my neck, and the only time that the phone ever rang from a chiropractor. I don't want to ask that. And I went to a chiropractor, and they were advertising a special free x-ray, free visit, and so forth. And I've been praying, God, I don't want to have surgery. Doctor said we need to go through there. We need to put a needle through your neck and put your vocal cords over here. We need to go in there and go through your neck and do all that. And dear God, I don't want to go through that. And dear Lord, there's got to be a better way. Would you please heal me? Would you please give me, just show me, Lord, your will? And the phone rang. I went down to that chiropractor, started receiving treatment, put me on a traction. My neck would go up like this and up like this and up like this. My insurance changed after about 6 months. And because my insurance changed, I couldn't go to that doctor anymore. So I went to this other chiropractor. Oh, it's about 20 minutes away. I went to that fellow, and he said, he asked me what I was there for. I told him the reason. He said, I believe you only have to come here maybe once every 3 months. I believe it's manageable. I believe it's curable. And so he put me on this table. He was like Elijah. He climbed up on my body. Back then, it was a skinny body. And he climbed up on that thing, and he stretched me out. He stretched up on me, and he got my chin. And boy, he said, now hold on. I said, I'm holding. And man, he went, ooh, like that. And man, I thought, ooh, ooh. And I was, he said, okay, you come back in 3 months. Did you know I hurt for about 1 week? And after 1 week, I haven't had one problem since. That has been probably 12 years. I told that story in Tennessee, how God healed me. Well, God didn't get healed. The power of God healed me. Hey, do you believe in accidents? Amen. Do you believe that I can't think of the word. Starts with a C. And what's that? Coincidence, that's the word. You are smart to be up here preaching instead of me. And you believe in coincidence, not if you're a Christian. And I told that story in Tennessee, and a lady's husband was having the same problem. She came to me and she said, I've been trying to get my husband to go down to the chiropractor. I've been trying to get him to go, and he won't go. And I heard your story, and I think he should go. And I talked to him. He still wouldn't go. But you know what? It was an opportunity for me to help this fellow. And I've been through the same situation. I'm just saying there'll be times that you have a problem and you have an opportunity to help others who experience what you experience. What is it? What is it that you're going through, that you've been through, and you don't understand it? But that sometime in the future, if you will just hang in there and not quit, not faint, you can help someone. Hang in there! If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. Hang in there, don't quit. Number three. Jesus said to Mary, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to John, behold thy mother. I think the Lord teaches us in adversity. We need to take care of those that are near to us. I think of my dear father-in-law just lost his wife 50 years of marriage. He's going through some tough times. Oh my goodness, he's going through some tough times. Called her a sweetheart. Not one day did he ever say a cross word to his wife. And he's lonely. I can think of my grandfather, lost his wife, same thing, 50 years of marriage. And I remember him saying how lonely it was, and he just didn't know if he could get through it. And there at the age of 75 years old, he married within 6 months. He just couldn't live without a woman. Amen. And you know how it is, fellas. Amen. And I've had a woman. She's been hurt and I just tell you, I'm glad she's getting healthy. That's all I'm saying. I'm just glad for a woman. We're talking about a Sunday school class. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And praise the Lord for good ladies, for good wives. But we ought to take care of those that are near to us. Jesus is on the cross and he's hanging there. And he looks down and he sees John. And he says, behold thy mother. And he sees his mother. And he says, woman, behold thy son. I think from that time on, his mother was taken care of by John the disciple. I think we should just take care of those that are near to us. Amen. I mean, they get up in years. And maybe they're not strong and not financially secure. We ought to take care of them. I think of missionaries that have to take care of their loved ones. They're out on foreign fields and their loved ones have needs. And the devil does a good job in distracting. Just take care of those that are near to you, your family members. Take care of them. Love them. Number four, I must hasten. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here's something good for us to learn. Take the hard questions of why to God and not to man. Say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. I've been a Christian for, I think, 3 years. I was 23 years of age. I began to notice pain in my hip. I'd go to work, and I'd be carrying boxes. I was working in a factory, and I carried those boxes on my right shoulder, and you've seen me at McDonald's. You've been to McDonald's, haven't you? How many been to McDonald's? And the rest of you, have y'all been to McDonald's? What a business that is. And nugget sauce cups, you know, you pour the sauce in and you dip your nuggets in. I made those. And you probably ate from one. I ate years ago. You don't even know. And the ladies would pack these things off the line, and I'd put them in a box. I'd carry them over, and I'd strap the tape on, put them on a pallet, and I ran the line that made those things. And I'd be carrying those around, and boy, it just got worse. When I started having pain in my hip, one night I absolutely couldn't stand. I couldn't take another step. Every time I tried to move, pain would shoot up my hip. Told my boss, I've got to go home, 6 o'clock in the morning. I walked out, somebody helped me, walked out into the car, got my red Honda. I went home at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, I must have been going 70 in a 45. Went home, and I tried to get out of the car, and every time I moved, I could absolutely not get out of the car. Pain was so painful. I fell out of the car and began to crawl up the steps to the mobile home we lived in, and that was the beginning of pain. I eventually had hip replacement surgery, and I remember doing this. I remember asking people, why would God allow this? You know what that is? That's a mark of an immature Christian. Because everything that happens in our life, God allows it for a reason. Amen. I was a young Christian. I was immature. I said, God, why would you allow this? Here I am. If I get called, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do the best I can. Now I look back at it, I can see the hand of God in it, and I believe without a doubt if God had not allowed Keith Beamster to have hip problems and hip replacement surgery, I probably wouldn't be behind this pulpit today. God was molding me, making me what I should be, and sending adversity in my life, and I was a fanatic person and said, why would God do this? God, I don't understand why, but you know what? You've got a reason. God, I'll ask you the reason, maybe you'll give the reason, but I'm not going to look at man. They don't understand what's going on in my life, but you do. And Jesus goes on the cross and said, my God, Holy Spirit, my God, God the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, when questions come to your life, don't go to man. They don't understand. No way they can. Go to God. By the way, let me help you. Just trust God that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Number five, quickly. Jesus said, I thirst. I thirst. You know what, folks? I think when you have trouble, it's okay to let other people know your needs. You're having trouble in your life. It's okay to go seek counsel. You know what causes us to not go get help? You know what it's called? It's a five-letter word. P-R-I-D-E. Man, when trouble comes into your life and you just don't understand it, you don't know why, and you just, and before you make a move, you go get counsel. I mean, go see somebody. Find somebody to help you. And by the way, my office is always open. I don't charge a penny. And you need to use your pastor. I'll help you. Some of you think, well, I don't know, I'm afraid of what he'll say. Good night. I guarantee this. If I can't help you, I'll let you know. And if I can help you, it'll be from this book. I'll let you know from this book, that's where I'm going to get done. And if I got an opinion or something from the government, I will tell you, this is my opinion. And don't hold it. I don't know. But I will give you principles from this book. I'm there. but you have trouble, come see me. Don't go to people and start gossiping and start doing different things like that. Go get help. I have preachers on my list. In a moment's time, I would seek counsel. When I came here, I had preachers that I called up and asked for their counsel before I ever came here. I asked them, Pastor so-and-so, let me explain the situation. I asked them and asked another one and asked another one. Because, hey, in the multitude of counselors, help me now, there is, help me, safety. Find somebody to counsel when adversity comes. Jesus is on the cross and he says, I thirst. He's letting them know their needs. It's okay to do that. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Get spiritual help. You go to a, you have problems with a, you have problems with your heart, don't come see me. You have problems with your brain, it depends on what kind of problems they are. But if you, got, you have problems with your brain, and say you have an aneurysm or something, don't see me, go get a doctor. You have physical problems, you, what do? You go, unless you're a man, you go down and go see a doctor. You ladies act like men do, and you just don't want to go to doctors. Anybody, any lady like that, you just don't want to say, you're like that. And you go and you seek out help from a counselor who is a doctor. If you have spiritual needs, you know what we do? We seek out people many times for spiritual help that'll tell us what we want to hear, instead of going to the preacher that'll tell us what we need to hear. That's why folks don't go to pastors. Come see me. Come see me. I'll help you. I want to help you. But I'll help you from the Word of God. As the doctor physical gives prescriptions, the spiritual doctor, the pastor, gives the prescription, and this is the prescription. Then the last thing, next to the last thing, Jesus said it is finished. Realize this, there is a purpose and an end to everything. There is a purpose and an end. Everything that happens in your life, there is a purpose. Every trial that comes in your life, there is a purpose. Everything that comes in your life and you say, I don't understand it, there's a purpose. Everything that happens to you, there is a purpose, and God is trying to do something in your life. Then the last thing, I've got to quit. Last thing. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What do you need to learn from there? Surrender everything to God and give it to him. Surrender it all. Give it to him. I like the story about the young man that was in a cliff, and he let go of a branch and fell, and he hung on and grabbed the branch, and he looked up and he said, anybody up there? And out from there, a voice said, let go. He said, what did you say? I said, let go. This is God speaking. And then the man said, anybody else up there? And that's pretty much what we say sometimes, isn't it? We know what this book says, but we just want to hear somebody say something a little different that makes a little more sense. But you know what? This may not make sense, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Surrender it to God and give it to him and let him have it. Father, into thy hands commend thy mind. Adversity is going to come. And there's nobody here that can keep adversity from coming to your life. But when adversity does come, make sure, dear Christian, make sure. Say, preacher, why are you always, you're always telling us to be faithful, to be in church, and to read our Bible? Because I know adversity is going to come, and I know when it comes, you need to be strong, or you're going to be a casualty. You're going to be out on the sidelines, like many other Christians are. Your life isn't going to count like it should count. You're not going to be faithful from the starting line to the finish line. I don't want you to quit and get straight. I want you to keep on going. Let your life count for Jesus. That's why I'm going to continue to harp on it. Just keep on going. Did you talk to the Lord today? Did you bow your heart? Did you bow your knee? Did you spend time with the one who created you? Huh? Did you get in his word and let Jesus speak to your heart today? Hey, a new week has begun. You got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Spend time with him. Get strong spiritually. So when adversity comes, you're not going to faint. Because if you're not spiritually strong, you will. You'll faint. You'll quit. You'll say, I can't take it anymore. Can't take it anymore. Get in the Word. Dear Christian, get in the Word. Father, I pray that you bless us tonight. Pray that you bless your people tonight. Solomon, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Dear God, I pray that you help us.